Back once again with SIU President Randy Dunn. Dr. Dunn, we started talking about some budget issues before we began this segment. We will hear in the next month, before you're in again, from new Governor Bruce Rauner about his budget priorities, what he expects, and what he brings to the legislature. Are you still hearing what you were hearing before, which is a pretty high-level percentage cut in higher education?
We really haven't gotten any more intelligence to suggest something other than what was acknowledged fairly early on, that being that we could see up to a 20% cut in appropriations. Obviously, Governor Rauner, as many listeners know, has been touting the benefit of investment in higher education. I think he sees that as important, and you know, when you hear something like that, you appreciate it, and you know, maybe it hearkens to something less than a 20% cut. But other signals are somewhat more concerning. The governor just recently, in fact, last week, hired an individual who has had some history working in higher education in other states, most particularly California, where the approach was taken to make some pretty severe cuts to higher education and then allow tuition to rise to backfill whatever the essential services were that were lost by state support declining so dramatically. And what that does, in essence, is to privatize the state's higher education system. So I think you have all of us who work in this field who are watching what develops with that hire, and it's clearly a certain philosophical approach about how the state supports post-secondary education, and if we go the route of California, that does give me pause, because if you look at how things have played out there, it's worrisome in terms of access for students in Southern Illinois. To wit, you lose state support, tuition and fees get jacked up. It increases the need for loans and builds debt on the back of students. But at this point, it's too early to know. Until we get to that budget address on February 18th and really see the numbers that are put forward, we have some notion as to whether or not the governor is going to move forward with any revenue packages. It's all speculation until we see what that, you know, kind of that opening gambit is for his budget going into FY16.
And you say opening gambit. This is just the first. He has to work with the legislature.
Absolutely.
To get that budget
Absolutely.
Passed. There has to be some sort of
but
balance there.
There's no doubt about it. And we have obviously great, good friends in the Illinois General Assembly and both chambers who understand the role of SIU in this region, the scope of the work that we do for the region, and all of those things that you want a General Assembly member to know about your university. But I do think there's a reality, and if the governor comes in with a budget that does not propose new revenue, If there is not some plan to increase money into the till, whether it's through service taxes that he's talked about or maybe putting back some of the income tax, if there is no revenue proposal, I think we're probably kidding ourselves a bit then to think that the General Assembly is going to just unilaterally go in and push that through. They are going to look for the governor to lead on this. So if we come out of the state, you know, the state budget address with no revenue proposal, I think it's going to be a very challenging spring as we work through the budget-making process at the state level.
I think it's safe to say that you've been kind of reading tea leaves and watching how things have been
looking
going.
Looking for political intelligence.
but one of the more clear ways to see which direction Governor Rauner might be going is in the executive orders that he has
yes.
put out since he came into office
yes.
earlier this month, one which requires all state agencies to review their contracts, to look at travel, to look at
yes.
all of those things that people say, well, there's just too much waste in
yes.
government. Higher education is a part of that order?
Yes, we are. In fact, I believe the first executive order that the governor issued upon inauguration, or maybe the second, his first one may have been ethics, but at any rate, Executive Order 15-08 was the first one out of the gate, or if not the first, you know, it started a string of those. that took place his first week in office. And one of those caught us in higher education from the standpoint that, as you've indicated, there were a number of strictures there in regard to contract review, hiring, out-of-state travel, essential spending versus non-essential spending. And when that first executive order went out, there was some question as to whether it applied to us in higher education. Clearly, the state agencies, what we call the code agencies under the control of the governor, were impacted by that. But it wasn't clear if the universities were or not. Subsequent to that executive order, we then did get guidance from the governor's Office of Management and Budget that said, yes, this does apply to universities just like state agencies. So we saw that, and then we were kind of waiting for some direction or for some indication about how to report some of this information in. So in that executive order, there was a very quick demand, fast turnaround, listing out contracts we'd entered into, I believe going back to last November, wanting listing of personnel hired, things of that nature. And initially at the university, we didn't respond immediately thinking there would be some sort of template or guidance into how to put this together. Obviously, you think of the university, we're a $900 million organization, we have a lot of activity going on, and we weren't quite sure how to do this document dump. So we held off a bit, and then finally, the end of last week, got some guidance and turned that information in. So I'm going to have to probably go forward this week and try to craft some direction for the campus around that, given that clearly, you know, that executive order is something that we're going to have to fully comply with without a lot of direction about how to report it out or what kind of rules and regulations to set forth. But we're going to work on that and try to translate that a little bit for the university as we go forward.
As we might have expected, certainly Governor Rauner's administration will be something to watch, something to talk about
in
the next several months.
No doubt.
I wanted to spend just a couple of minutes on President Obama's proposal to allow free community college for students across the nation. What effect do you think that might have on higher education?
You know, this is really one that has me torn, Jennifer, and probably you would think that I would, you know, come out cheering that. So let me preface at the start. I'm all about educational attainment. I don't do what I do for a living, and the hundreds of people who work at SIU Carbondale don't come here simply because it's a job. This work is a calling, and you know, you've heard that speech before, and for me, it's very sincere. That being said, though, I do have a number of questions, and that proposal gives me a bit of pause. First of all, politically, I think it's going to be very, very tough for President Obama to get that proposal passed through the U.S. Congress and the Senate. The costs for that will be large. There's no obvious source of revenue. At the federal level, of course, I know that they're talking about taxing the 529 college savings plans. That's a whole other story that we could get to talking about, whether that's appropriate or not. Three-quarters of that cost comes back to the state. How do we handle that in Illinois? Are we going to tell the community colleges simply to jack up their property taxes to cover that? So the funding element is difficult. There's also the assumption that, again, with that 2 years of free community college, that every student must do that. And I do not subscribe to that. In fact, for those who are more local, they read an article in the Sunday Southern Illinoisan about the fact that we cannot find people to fix appliances. And a local business was willing to pay a three-week tuition to anyone who wanted it to go to an academy program to learn how to do these things. And there are just huge numbers of jobs that are well-paying, that provide a career, that do not demand 2 years of college. Maybe a certificate program, maybe a short-term training or an apprenticeship, but I think it's going to push a number of students thinking you have to do a full 2 years of college. And while, again, I'm all about educational attainment, and we know that 50 to 60% of those students are going to need maybe that 2 years, there's another 40% who probably don't and be able to have good careers and lives without 2 years of community college. Here's another concern I have. When my wife and I heard this story initially, You know, this was actually proposed by the president before the State of the Union. He had gone out on a road trip and went to Tennessee, where this is being touted. It was a state plan. Well, the first thing my wife and I said is, it's crazy for the federal government to pay for 2 years of community college if a child of ours wanted to go to community college. We're very well paid. We're a high-income family. We can afford to pay for our own kids to go to community college. So we're giving this entitlement program without any kind of notion of need base. And I have a hard time justifying that. Certainly many students do need that, and that support could be great. But this notion that it's almost turned into an entitlement without clear respect to the need, particularly in these times, doesn't make sense. So I'm all for community college. I'm a big supporter of those. We're blessed to have the ones we have in our region that have great relationship with SIU Carbondale. But this notion, I think, is going to have a hard time getting out of the gate for these and probably other reasons that we could mention.
With that, we're out of time. Dr. Dunn, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jennifer.